हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविर्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 34, The Nectar of Devotion, page 70. Similarly, in Bhayanaka Rasa, happiness is produced by the Bhavya Bhaktas by the action of Rati, which is filled with a certain hope that the Lord will be saved from danger. And for the Bhavaka Bhaktas, by the reassuring words of devotees. Even in Bibhatsa Rasa, there will be happiness for the Bhavya Bhaktas by Rati's action, which produces a manifestation of Krishna to crush the disgusting objects which have manifested. And there will be happiness in Bibhatsa Rasa for the Bhavaka Bhaktas by reassuring statements about the final outcome. Right? So, means within that particular rasa that's there, that then it has their aspects in connection with the Lord. One is that how it's going to work out for the Lord, how the Lord will be freed from any dangerous position, or how the Lord will remove this particular, will get rid of this particular manifestation, because in his pastimes everything is going wonderfully. So anything that comes up that's not appropriate, then the Lord will take care of it. And for the sadhakas and that, then is the reassuring words of the devotees, how you can get over fear, how you can get over the difficulties of the world here, and get to the transcendental position. So, 125. So, because the question is how can you be happy in these things? It's because in these, then there's that connection to the Lord, and that aspect. This is confirmed by statements in Natya Shastra. The absolute proof that karma and the other negative rasas. Oh, yes. Because in the last one it was karma. I'm thinking about these guys in there. So between the two, we're getting. Maybe go in there and tell them that we're happy that they are enjoying the bliss of Krishna consciousness, but if they can. They're appreciating Hasya Rasa, but. this problem is it echoes in there, so. The absolute proof that karuna and the other negative rasas produce happiness is the experience of the soft-hearted devotees. Right? Because they see that it works out very nicely. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse is added from scripture to counter the objections that the above statements are only the opinion of the author. Right? So he shows him Natya Shastra. No, it's not. This is actually how it is. Because, especially when you become pessimistic, then anything that's not nice, it can't be good. Right? Because you're pessimistic about it. Mm-hmm. So, the aspect that these different flavors and flowing of rasa can actually bring happiness, that they can't appreciate, because basically in their mind, then just things of this world always give trouble. Or even if they're in karma, because they're always getting trouble, then they're looking for those situations that they can go beyond this trouble. And so they're looking for these nice situations because there's too much of these other aspects. Right? It's out of balance because in the material world, then, things aren't in a proper balance. While in Krishna consciousness, these will be a flavor that's added. You know what I'm saying? If you just put a touch of something, it brings it out. You know, it's just like, let's say, you take sugar and caramelize it. So in doing so, it brings out this little bit of bitterness. But if it's done just right, it comes out very nice. But if you do it too much, then the bitterness becomes too prominent and it's not a background flavor. Or let's say they take caramel and they put some salt in it. If you just put a touch of salt, it makes the thing more bright. But if you put too much, it just becomes salty.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is they're just used to having only this taste of fear or of disgust or of lamentation. And so it's not in a balance. So it's not adding to a relationship. It's not, they're not seeing it in the context of that. It'll basically be more about their existence. And so they just want to get rid of this. And so they doubt that this can be a real thing within the transcendental platform. Does that make sense? Yeah. They understood? Yeah.
Because Nanda went somewhere again. I told Bhakta Priya.
Okay. 25126. If Karuna Ras did not give rise to happiness, then Ramayana would be a cause of grief for the Bhavaka Bhaktas, since that and other works reveal Karuna Ras throughout. Right? So Ramayana is very much appreciated for those who are used to hearing it. That is something that can be regularly recited, but because this Karuna would be so prominent there, then it would be not tasteful. You heard it, and then, okay, yeah, we heard the Ramayana, now you don't want to hear it again. But they constantly want to hear it, because it does give rise to happiness. Right. Srila Jiva Goswami. Here the author's opinion is stated by supposing the opposite condition. Because the dealing with upadanat, Karuna Rasa in many places of each volume of the work, Sarvatra, it would be a cause of distress for the aspiring devotees, Bhavaka Bhaktas. Because it comes up many, many places. Right? So, it's coming up in many, many places, then would be a cause of distress for the Bhavakas. But we see that, no, they're inspired and keep going forward. And Ambhavya, then they're fully absorbed in the rasa. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, I was told by my aunt and all that their previous generations, they were in a much pitiable situation than the current ones.
Mm-hmm.
But they were always having that positive attitude towards the life.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were mentally very strong.
Mm-hmm.
It seems because they're Krishna conscious, much more Krishna conscious than later generations, so they can handle the other, these kind of
things. Because you actually know the material world is a place of misery, and so you do the best you can. And if you follow the directions as given in scriptures of how to behave, it will go better than if you don't. On the modern, they don't have such knowledge and they don't have such faith. The idea is technology will make me happy. Right? You know, that's all. You know, how you say, it's whatever it is, you know, if I just get this phone or this thing or I get this club, then I'll be happy. So it's just on a much more minor scale. So it seems that the technology is a much fancier kind of thing. But the problem is, It's not doing anything to enhance relationships. You say, oh no, but I have a very nice social life. It says, but with who? You know? I think there was one situation where someone on you know, the multimedia had so many friends. It may have been Facebook or something, because it was sometime back. And so I think they were getting married or something, and so for some, they just in that enthusiasm, they invited them all to the wedding. And naturally, as you know, this media is not actually so real anyway. You know, it's just one of those things that you say, and you know, then they say, "Oh yeah, this, that," and it's just something to exchange express some feelings, but it's not necessarily that it's solid. They were totally shocked and aghast, you know, the Bibatsa Rasa here, when they all showed up. It was like 400 or 500 of them. They showed up for the wedding. They didn't know what to do with them. It was like, I didn't think you'd show up. I just said it. It was just like, you know, hey, why don't we should go out somewhere. Yeah, yeah, that would be great. But no, nothing ever happens.
They usually say the opposite happens.
you expect people. No, you expect people and nobody shows up.
Well, that's because you've actually invited them. But if we're working with the modes of nature, if you actually invited them, they won't show up. But if you didn't invite them, just went through the external show, they will show up.
That's a Facebook joke. It's the picture of the guy at the funeral. There's only two people sitting there. He said, I don't understand. He had 25,000 friends on Facebook.
Yes. This is life for me. Modern technological age. If Ramayana is a cause of grief, why should Hanuman, who is an ocean filled with the waves of Rama's lotus feet, continually hear Ramayana with pleasure? Srila Prabhupada. An apparently pitiable condition in devotional service may appear distressing to the inexperienced student, but the feelings of the devotee in this pitiable condition are considered to be ecstatic by expert devotees. For example, the subject matter of the Ramayana is sometimes considered pitiable and distressing to the heart. But actually, that is not the fact. The Ramayana narrates how Lord Rama was sent to the forest by his father just when he was going to be enthroned. After Lord Rama's departure, Maharaj Dasarath, his father, died. In the forest, his wife, Sita Devi, was kidnapped by Ravana, and there was a great war. When Sita Devi was finally delivered from the clutches of Ravana, Ravana's whole family and kingdom and Ravana himself were vanquished. When Sita Devi came home, she was tried by fire, and after some days she was again banished to the forest. All of these subjects in Ramayana seem very pitiable, and they may appear very distressing to the reciter, but actually they are not. Otherwise, why would Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, read daily about the activities of Lord Ramachandra, as described in Ramayana itself? The fact is that in any of the above-mentioned 12 transcendental humors of devotional service, everything is transcendentally pleasing. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this verse, the author proves that there must be present a primary rasa in the bhavaka bhaktas by showing the impossibility of its absence. If it were absent, then there would only be grief. If it is a cause of grief, Tatatve, why should Hanuman constantly hear Ramayana with pleasure? Right, so you have the, because we'll look at it, oh, this lamentation is there, but we forget there's the primary rasa. So it's simply in enhancing the primary rasa, and that primary rasa will be accepted as it's always ananda. So since it's always ananda, that means this flavor must also always be ananda. It just has a different flavor on how it delivers that ananda, or how the ananda is experienced. Right? So that's one aspect, and the other is that otherwise, why would Hanuman, who is a great devotee and is established on that position, why would he regularly hear it? Right? Because he's transcendental, so it's not that he's doesn't like himself, so that's why he's hearing this, just to feel bad. Right?
Yeah. I think like this is the reason. There are some devotees who always explain all the scriptures from the idea of like, if you are not following Krishna, not surrendered, then Maya will capture you.
Okay.
It's
yes.
Like,
yep.
With fear.
Okay.
Rather than if a person newcomer, he doesn't have the primary faith in the Lord, then those will actually not be inspiring enough.
Yes. No. That's also a nice angle. That means I don't think that's the primary angle being discussed here, because I don't know if you. Remember when was this coming up? Last year, year before, I think it was. It may have been the year before. That when we were discussing certain things in the pastimes and all that, and then the aspects of separation, then the question kept coming up regularly, how is this bliss? So this is addressing that aspect. And then, so, because we were looking at it from the position of, you know, the Bhavya Bhaktis. Yeah. Like that. For the bhavaka bhaktas, then they're going to be inspired by, you know, that inspiration, how they can get beyond all this. So then what you're bringing up now is showing the incorrect way to apply that. That if you're just focusing on, you know, hellfire and brimstone, then that's not inspiring really to anybody. You know, anybody who is inspired by that, generally they have a bit of a problem. You know, socially, they have problems. So, the thing is these things are brought up, and you know that it's there, but by Krishna Kanya, you can go beyond all this and that. So that has to be the main. There has to be enough that you're careful of Maya, but it's not just about, you know, what's wrong, because you have the yama and niyama. So you have the yama, what you shouldn't do, but then what about the niyama, what you should be doing? You know, and what the benefits are in that. So that's why he said that they are, what was that point he made here? Okay. The bhavakas, by reassuring words of devotees when there's fear, right? And in vibhatsa, then by reassuring statements about the final outcome. So one is, don't worry, it'll correct itself now. And the other is, it's not, the ultimate outcome will be there. Right? Because fear is something it'll get over now. But the material world and its problems, that's going to be, you get to the spiritual world, you don't have those problems. But then they're thinking, no, but these problems are still going on with the devotees. You know, so that's the first thing that it's dealing with. But the second aspect is then how to present it, like what you brought up. Yeah, so if people have got too much on the heaviness on that side, it's not inspiring. You know, of course, it may give you that fear of God aspect, but the point is we're about devotion, love for God, not about fear. Because we see if it's fear of God, if it was so good, why is it out of, you know, let's say 2 billion people are actually following God's laws? Right? A handful are. And even then, they'll have trouble. They're afraid of God. But it's not that's cultivating that pleasant relationship. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. So it's that negative aspect, if you bring it out too much, which it can happen, you get too much into the rules. So it's niyamagraha. So by going the other side, it doesn't matter. That's also. So you have to be careful. Is you don't leave the rules and you don't overemphasize the rules. Yes.
Like one devotee was mentioning, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was preaching in Africa to the president. So one of the president, and he when he gave a talk, Maharaj heard. Then he mentioned in his talk, the president mentioned that most of the problems with religious groups is because they emphasize on fear of God rather than love of God.
Yes.
And Maharaj said, then I understood that he's reading Prabhupada's books, which I gave.
Yeah.
It's only like by reading stuff,
but
we'll say, oh, I get to that
realization. Yes, no, that's very nice. Yes. Because otherwise, we sometimes tend to emphasize that too much. You're doing this wrong, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
But that's only a problem because it gets in the way of you remembering Krishna, but we may not discuss the remembering Krishna and the benefits of that. Because that's inspiring. And the other is just because it gets in the way. Does that make sense? So, because we have the tendency to point out the negative and not bring out why we should do the positive. Because if we know why we're doing the positive, that's why we would want to avoid the negative. So the negative is still only a value in context of the positive. You know, it's just like religion only has a value in connection with Krishna. Right? So, irreligion only has a value in its has support for religion, which is in support of is engaged in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So otherwise, irreligion doesn't stand on its own, just like religion doesn't stand on its own. They both have to be seen in the context of Krishna. So irreligion is a problem because it's not, you can't really engage it nicely in Krishna's service. Religion is the problem if you don't engage it in Krishna's service. Right? So. So.
Can we say that if we focus on the idea to serve Krishna, the primary rasa, all the second aspect like that are becoming small? I can say like that.
Small
in the sense that positive or negative is like a detail.
Yeah, it's a detail. It means they'll always be positive, but they may give the appearance to be negative.
Yes.
You know, it's just like we were saying, you have a preparation, you put, like, make a drink, a bitter lemon. But it's bitter, so not only we take bitters as a negative, but in that the way if it's the way it's done, it comes out as a positive. It just is a different flavor. So for the Bhavya Bhaktas, then they're not at all a negative feature. They're just another way of being absorbed in the Lord. Right? For the Bhavikas, then for them, these things come up and they're experiencing them because they're not experienced on the transcendental, they're experienced on the material. So you're overcoming those by showing how, as you advance in Krishna consciousness, those things will go away.
Yes.
Right? So we don't want to make the mistake that going away means the material will go away, but it doesn't mean the spiritual goes away. But if we don't make the distinction between the two, then we'll think that it's just the same. So form gives problem, therefore spiritual form is also giving problem. So fear gives problem here, so then spiritual fear is also going to give problem. So we can see it's coming from a personalism, because we're not actually understanding the people and the relationship. So if you're absorbed in Krishna, it doesn't matter what's the flavor, it's still going to be ecstatic. It's just a different flavor. It's just like you're eating, you're nourishing the body. Then you can get that from fruits, from vegetables, from dairy products, from grain. Each has a different flavor, but they're all nourishing. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, so we can explain, like, from the rasa point of view, those who are spontaneous or those who naturally choose only those aspects which are favorable to Krishna consciousness, because of which there is no kind of negative anubhavas which will curtail their rati. But for the sadhaka stage, one cannot decide which are the positive anubhavas, which are negative. That's why some of them which are not favorable, they have to curtail it down. That's why it's not spontaneous in that way.
Yes, but it's not because of the fear element. It's because of its, we're not seeing it in connection with Krishna. We're fearful because we're absorbed in things that aren't connected to Krishna. Because fear means it comes up from its lack of connection to Krishna. So, in one sense, you know, if you're remembering Krishna, there's no fear. Right? And so we see the fear they have is in connection with Krishna, not themselves. But the difficulty comes up is fear is that we have the fear of the material world. And so we want that to go away by our connection with the Lord. But we have to be very careful that we're also not fearful of our relationship with Krishna.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because we'll say, oh yes, no, we want to be a gopi, or we want to be the cowherd boy, or this or that. We'll say we want the relationship, but that relationship means it's about Krishna, not about ourselves. So that's the aspect we're afraid of losing. That I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's why you see the impersonalists, that they're afraid of God. Because that means they're not God. They're not the controller. They're not the enjoyer. So as devotees, we may, you know, this will be greatly reduced, but it doesn't mean there might not be some leftover vestiges of this. And so then we may be worried that if I surrender, you know, is Krishna going to take care? That's why you see the opening point being made in Bhagavatam once it starts in the storyline. It means it's giving the intro with the sages and that first bit of conversation. And then it's talking about Vyasadeva and Narad Muni and that whole, and Vyasadeva's realization. But once that realization's come, then we see the first point that's being given is his potion, or how the Lord is maintained with Uttara. She's fearful, and then Krishna is taking care. Because we're going to surrender, because our idea is, I'll take care of myself. Right? And so, therefore, if I surrender, who's going to take care of me? So then, when we're convinced that Krishna takes care, then we can surrender. But otherwise, we're afraid if I surrender, I'm going to lose something. I'm going to lose out on this sense gratification, or position, or honor, or facility, or gain, you know. You know, it's just like you say, just serve Krishna. You don't, but you know, what about maintaining our family? It's just, you know, Krishna's maintaining your family now. Why is it you think you're going out and doing a certain amount of work and you're getting a certain facility, but other people are doing the same amount of work, if not more, and getting less facility? So why are you getting that? You know, people are doing the same work as you are and getting much more. Like, how much money, let's say the CEO is there, you know? And, you know, his son is then working in the business, right? Depending on what it is, you could see a situation where the son's not actually doing much. You know, he has his office, he has his this, he has a little bit of authority, but he's not actually producing that much. But how much is he getting paid compared to someone else in the same position? You know what I'm saying? So you do have these things where the same amount of effort, somebody's getting much more, somebody's getting, you know, what we would think is a regular amount, and somebody's getting much less. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the difficulty, is that we're thinking, I'm maintaining the family, I'm doing all this, when it's actually no, Krishna is. So we, by surrendering, then we can see Krishna will take care. And when Krishna takes care, then, you know, it may be different from what we were thinking it will be, but that's the point, is he knows how to deal in unlimited pastimes. So, and he's going to be happy, and he wants to, you know, and his devotees are happy, so it works out. Does that make sense? So that's the... Is that... No? Digesting. Okay. 25128. Addenda. If the rati of the associates of Radha, the directed to Radha, is equal or less than their rati directed to Krishna, the rati directed to Radha is called Sanchari Rati. Nourishing the rati towards Krishna. If the rati of Radha's associate directed to Radha is greater than that directed to Krishna and is constantly increasing, though it is still a sanchari bhava, it is called bhavo lasa rati. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami. So in other words, is the rati more for Krishna? More for Radharani, or is it equal?
Yes.
Like that. Because you have these different associates. Those who are a little bit more on Krishna's side, those who are more on Radharani's side, and those who are, you know, it goes both ways. It's equal. You know, it's just like, who's the cousin? Sister?
Chandravali?
No. Who?
Chandravali?
No, that's not. That's in another category.
Huh? You're asking that.
We're only asking Radharani. Which boat did you arrive on?
I thought you were describing a word.
Kundalata. Yeah, Kundalata. So Kundalata, she'll be more favorable to Krishna. Right? Because being his cousin and all that. So when things go wrong for Krishna, she'll go in and push Krishna's side. Like that. Because it's, you know, of that rati for Krishna. And in that way then, you know, it will inspire the gopis and this and that. You know, it may make more fights and this, but whatever it is, it ultimately, because it's ultimately about Krishna. Right? Then there are those who, where they see is, you know, Krishna's, you know, because it's not a matter of Krishna's been wrong or not, you're going to look at it from Krishna's angle. Right? Krishna comes in, he's very arrogant and all that, the gopis become upset. So then now they're ignoring him, so then he's feeling bad, and Kundalata will take the side, and oh, you know, he'll say something to try to get them inspired towards Krishna, right? Someone who's neutral, then they're going to take it that Krishna did something wrong here, so you should consider this, but at other times then it'll be, you know, they did, or Krishna, you've done this, that you have to, you know, in other words, they're equal towards both of them. But there's those that it's Radharani's side. It doesn't matter what Krishna's done, it's wrong. What Radharani's done, it doesn't matter, it's right. You know? So even if they're taking Krishna's side, it's only to inspire Radharani so that she will interact with Krishna so that she'll be happy. So does that make sense? Like that. Because the approach to Krishna is only when Radharani is pleased, then that's actually when Krishna's pleased. So then you'll get these two, the Sanchari Bhava and the Bhavo Lasa Rati. Srila Jiva Goswami. Apicha indicates that the chapter is finished. Right? So that's the addenda, I guess. But now some additional information will be given. The meaning of the verse is as follows. Suhrid Rati, Rati directed to one's friends, indicates, for instance, the Rati of principal associates of Radha, such as Lalita, who have similar emotional sentiments as Radha. Directed to that particular devotee who is the shelter of one's cherished rasa with Krishna, in this case Radha. That Rati directed to Radha or another ideal devotee is equal or less than their Rati directed to Krishna. That Rati directed to Radha is called Sanchari Bhava, assistant of the Rati directed to Krishna. If that Rati directed to Radha is greater than the person's Rati directed to Krishna, constantly increasing with affection, Pushyamana, it is called Bhavo Lasa, to indicate its special nature. Though that Rati directed to Radha is still a Sanchari Bhava. Right, because it's something that's coming up. Means you have the Vibhava aspect with Krishna. So you have your Rati, that Vibhava aspect will come up. Within that, there are Sancharis to support it. So it's still a Sanchari to Krishna's Rati. But it will be more emphasized on Radharani than on Krishna. This statement has been written here as it is remembered at this point. Though it should be included at the end of the topic of Sanchari Bhavas or Vyavichari Bhavas, since it belongs to the same topic. Right? But being remembered here, he's written about it, having come to this point, then this has come up, so now he's written it down. 25129. Means topic-wise it would go there, but it's also, unless you've come to this point, how are you going to appreciate this point here? Does that make sense? By topic, it would be in there. So if you studied the whole work and you go back and study thematically, then it would be included in that part. But at the same time, is there has to be a development that you have come to a particular level of appreciation that you can actually accept this. Therefore, now it's come at this point. Yes?
It's also mentioned in Priti Sandarbha that there is aspect of Rasullasa. Sometimes it is said in a particular situation, like where there is a pitiable situation, like Krishna is in Kaliya's hood, then Balaramji laughs. It is like humor is completely contradictory to this rasa.
Mm-hmm.
But then his laughing, his smiling, gives that reassurance which is required in this in the moment of Bhayanaka, fear. So that's how it increases the pitiable situation. It is enhancing their mood at that time.
Mm. Yeah, because they're confident. Because Balaram is strong and he knows, so he's laughing and it's not as serious as they're taking it. Yeah. Oops. Okay. 25129. Those whose bhakti has been completely burned up by false renunciation. Those who are dried up jnanis, those who are absorbed in logic and disputing, and particularly those who are mimamsakas, are excluded from tasting bhakti. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse elaborates on the ignorant persons previously mentioned, verse 123, who are not qualified for understanding rasa. Falgun vairagya means those practicing renunciation with indifference to bhakti. Right? They're just being renounced to be renounced. So that will dry up, that will burn up, their bhakti. Shushka jnana means those practicing knowledge which is indifferent to bhakti. Right? So they're practicing the knowledge, it's indifferent, so it will dry up. Haituka refers to those who are absorbed only in logic. Right, because it doesn't make sense, so how can this be devotion? And so that will also then be a problem. Mimamsaka refers to those absorbed in Purva Mimamsa, karma, or some of those involved with Uttara Mimamsa, Vedanta, who insist that duality is illusory. Right, so either it's about karma, and they're trying to enjoy, so they're not going to see bhakti, or they're accepting the Vedanta, but they're only accepting the monistic aspect. They don't see the dual aspect. Footnote 42. Some followers of Vedanta are Vaishnavas. They're not included among those condemned Mimamsakas. So it's just like the material world is illusion, but they put too much emphasis on the illusion part rather than its connection to Krishna. You know, it's like Prabhupada was saying, you emphasize too much the non-performance of the proper rituals or the improper performance of the proper rituals rather than on the benefits of properly performing. Like that. So you get too negative. Those mentioned later in the list are more thoroughly excluded from tasting bhakti. Some of the logicians who have studied with zeal subjects like poetic techniques will be able to understand a little about rasa in a general way. Thus they are placed before the mimamsakas. Those who are called materialistic, gramyai, in verse 123, are equated with the false and the renunciates. Vaidagya nirdagaha. Right, so in other words, if you're just absorbed in sense gratification or without connection with bhakti, you're just absorbed in renunciation without bhakti, they're in the same category. The dried up jnanis, the logicians, the mimamsakas are equated with the ignorant, agyayi, since they have mistaken knowledge about rasa. Right. So it's all of them will be ignorant. All of them will be akarmis, agyanis. You just take the prominent feature. Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say, you have a group playing sports. Right? And so, let's say they're playing soccer. So they're all the soccer team. So they all are playing the same game. But someone's the forward, someone's in the back, someone's, the goalie. So by what's prominent in there, it's not that each one of them can do all those things, but someone has to be in the front, someone has to be in the back. Someone has to watch the goal. It's not that the goalie can't make goals. But so the element is there is that, what do you call it? You're just, the prominence, that's what you're giving. Does that make sense? So, therefore, then you're saying gramyahi, there's those who are materialistic. So it'll be too much in the renunciation, too much into karma, that they just completely forget about Krishna. Right? While then, when you're dealing with the dried up jnanis, logicians, and mimamsakas, they may know something about the philosophy or about Krishna, about, proper activity, but they're ignorant of actual Krishna's position, the real position of bhakti. So therefore, then when in that previous verse it talked about those who are gramyahi and those who are agyahi, those who are in ignorance and those who are just like animals. Because the animals are performing their duties without Krishna. So even if you're a jnani and you're performing your duties and your renunciation very nicely, but without Krishna, then it's the same as the animals. Right? Because if we're taking knowledge means Krishna, then the jnanis, the renunciates, you can't count them as knowledge of Krishna. While for the jnanis, logicians, and mimamsakas, they may have some knowledge, but it's not proper. And their application, then it doesn't come out well. Therefore, they're agyahi. Does that make sense? So that's how the you have, just with a few points you can say, you don't have to mention them every time. It's just like yesterday, we were saying, he or she, you could just say they. Yes. They includes he, she, or like yes. that. So it's the same way. Sometimes you want to bring out. So if you just want to say it's people, then you say they. Yes. But you want to bring out, let's say, the performance of their duties, or something, then you say he or she. Then in that position, does that make sense? So that's why sometimes they'll give a longer list of who's unqualified for bhakti. And sometimes like this, it's just a short, just two groups.
Yes.
Those are completely, in other words, both are in ignorance, but one's not acting as an animal.
Yes.
And one is.
Yes.
So in other words, when it's single ignorance, you call it ignorance. When it's double ignorance, you call them animalistic. Is that, yeah? Yeah, so that since they have mistaken knowledge about rasa, That's where it was set. Because we're talking about bhakti, they can't understand rasa. The other ones aren't even interested. Does that make sense? You know, if a dog is sitting there and I pull out a Bhagavad Gita and hold it over to the dog, the dog will come over and sniff it and then walk away. Right? You know, unless I've dipped it in sugar syrup or something, then they'll lick it, you know, but... 2:5:130. Just as one very carefully protects a great treasure from thieves, the devotees protect bhakti rasa from the withered mimamsakas, since they are totally unqualified for relishing bhakti. Srila Prabhupada. So they're withered, and then the other ones are dried up, or each one's dead. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami mourns in this connection for persons who are in the fire of false renunciation, the dry speculative habit, and who neglect devotional service. Persons who are attached to the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Vedas and to the impersonal Brahman cannot relish the transcendental pleasure of devotional service. Sri Rupa Goswami advises, therefore, that all devotees have already tasted the nectar of devotion should be very careful to protect devotional service from such dry speculators, formal ritualistic elevationists, and impersonal salvationists. Interesting, huh? Speculates. Elevation, ritualistic elevationists and impersonal salvationists. Yeah. Devotees should protect their valuable jewel of spiritual love from the clutches of thieves and burglars. So these are like that because they just want to, they don't have it, they want to break it down in everybody else. You don't have faith, they like to break down faith in anybody else. They can't create faith,
yes.
But they just have a taste in breaking down faith. So these will also have, somebody has bhakti, they'll have a taste in destroying that. Yes. So that's why it says you have to, you know, protect it from thieves and burglars. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because I'm not sure if here are thieves and burglars, then thieves generally mean is they just, an opportunity, they just take it. Burglars means that they actually they make an effort. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Means the thief means they're walking by your bag, sitting there, they grab it and run. A burglar means they see you, they make a plan, and they watch, and they do a whole thing until they get it. There's a difference. Like that. Also in mano, there'll be a difference. One will be non-violent, one will be violent. Like that. Does that make sense? Oh, I thought it was the wrong class.
Said thief, so he remembered.
Oh! So these way, when I said your bag's just sitting there, he goes, bag's just sitting there. Yeah, my bag. Wait, where did I. Okay, see, Rupa Goswami takes care of that. Yeah, it's like Prabhu. One time he's there, and in the class, he's hearing on another day, and we were on the day discussing something. I think about Ekadasi. And he's going about something. It's Ekadasi, and then he goes in. Hey, today's Ekadasi. Yeah. So see, Krishna, the scriptures, they take care. The Shastra takes care.
Today is Ekadasi.
Yes. Yeah, I mentioned about Ekadasi. I wasn't remembering today is Ekadasi. Yes. So that's why then the devotees, right? So you hear Shastra in the association of devotees. In other words, a pure devotee should not describe devotional service and its different analytical aspects to dry speculators and false renouncers. That's why you don't get into it. Means you'll discuss it with devotees, but with others you just don't, because they'll just use it to argue over. It won't make, because they can't understand bhakti, so they won't see the logic, and so then they'll just argue. Srila Jiva Goswami. Right. Yes.
We understand, like, you know, the dry renunciates who doesn't have any idea about bhakti, but that, I think, is it cautioned here also to those who try to perform extra renunciation activities without seeing its relation with bhakti.
It's the same thing. See, this means you can take this as somebody who's just doing that, or you can take it even within devotional service. So in other words, you understand is that dry renunciation, that's not going to get you bhakti. Because Krishna's not impressed. You know, it's like we're thinking we're being so renounced, but it's kind of like, you know, where do Narayan Rishi live? You know, like that, you know. You know, Madhavendra Puri, he's not you know, we think we're so renounced, but he doesn't even endeavor for food.
Yeah.
You know, so if nothing comes, he just doesn't eat. You know, like that. Or so these things are there. It's not a problem. If they're engaged in Krishna's service, then they're fine. But if we think that they're the cause of the service, no. You know, so I'll be more renounced. Why? How will that be better for Krishna's service? If it is, then that's good. Krishna will be pleased because then it will be seen as bhakti. But if you're just becoming more renounced because you think being more renounced is good, you know, then how does, what does that have to do with bhakti? Srila Jiva Goswami. Since all the Mimamsakas are particularly devoid of tasting bhakti, indicated by the word iti, Krishna bhakti rasa is especially hidden from them. The verse also means that, to varying degrees, bhakti rasa is also hidden by the devotees from the false renunciates, the dried up jnanis and logicians. Right, in varying degrees, depending on how much they appreciate or not. So the more one appreciates, the more you can describe. But the point where that ends, that's where you have to stop.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's the same, yeah. So, yeah. These persons are compared to thieves in order to indicate they are excluded from bhakti rasa, just as one avoids thieves. And not to indicate that they have greed for stealing bhakti rasa. Instead of chaturad iva from thieves, sometimes vahnir iva from fire is seen. You know, just like you protect yourself from fire, you know, it's just you're careful. So that which can become a dangerous position, you just avoid that. Right? So it's also like you see in the ten offenses, you don't preach to the faithless.
Yes.
So that indicates then, how do you preach? You preach something that they can believe in. How much they can believe in, that's how much you deal. Right? So, you're going to express philosophy, but you're going to bring out those aspects that they may appreciate. And parts they won't appreciate, you don't have to deal with those in the beginning. Because as they get purified, as they have faith and devotional service, then they can appreciate. This thing is that, if someone's, you know, from the West, they can't appreciate the, you know, the Vedic culture, maybe in the impure state, yes. But in the pure state, that it's the soul who's appreciating, not the conditioned nature. As they identify with the conditioning, yes, maybe they won't be able to appreciate that. But as they become purified, they stop identifying. It's the soul. The body is the same body. It doesn't matter. It's not that it's some different body. You know, it's just like you see, let's say someone from China and their parents move to America, and then, you know, they're born in America and raised in America, go to school in America, they're just as American as anybody else. How they talk, how they dress, how they deal, their values. You know? They'll identify with as Americans, not as Chinese.
Except when it's time for dinner.
Yes. Yes. They don't mind the other stuff, but they have to have the noodles.
And if they do get married, they go for a Chinese girl.
Yes. That's smart. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakura recommends. So the bag was there. So the thieves and burglars didn't catch it yet. Okay. So there were no Mimamsakas or Yanis or that around where your bag is.
They're not allowed to the
floor. Huh?
They're not allowed to the floor.
Really? What's at 10 o'clock?
Visitors.
Oh, in the temple. Oh, so in the morning program it's only Mayapur devotees.
That's what's supposed
to be. That's far out. That's amazing. Huh? And then from 10 till what?
1.
Okay, 10 to 1, then visitors.
5 to 7.
Okay, and then until evening arti, then they can come. And then after that, it's only devotees. That's interesting. That's an interesting solution.
The new temple is closed completely.
That's why the bag was still there.
Aha. Okay, because only devotees were there. No dry renunciates and others. They come at 10 o'clock. Rasa directed to the Lord is very difficult to understand for those with no devotion. Those who have dedicated themselves to the lotus feet of Bhagavan can taste bhakti rasa, Srila Prabhupada. For those who are not devotees can never achieve the benefits of devotional service. For them, the subject of devotional service is always very difficult to understand. Only persons who have dedicated their lives unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can relish the real nectar of devotion. Srila Jiva Goswami. Bhakti Ras can be tasted by the Bhavya and Bhavaka Bhaktas, devotees, and not by the previously mentioned knowers of Rasa, who have no taste, Pragyas. Right? Because people may, like we said, study the poetic Shastras and like this, but it doesn't mean that they understand actual transcendental rasa, because otherwise why is there a discussion about whether fear and all these things are okay as proper rasas on the transcendental platform? Because they have doubts, because they can't understand. Right? So they'll sit around and speculate on these things. 205-132. That which becomes even more intensely relished in the heart, made bright with the Hladini and Samvit Shaktis, attainment of bhakti, after surpassing the stage of distinguishing the constituent bhavas, and which becomes more astonishing in bliss than bhava, is called rasa. Srila Prabhupada, when one transcends the status of a static love and thus becomes situated on the highest platform of pure goodness, one is understood to have cleansed the heart of all material contamination. In that pure stage of life, one can taste this nectar, and this tasting capacity is technically called rasa, or transcendental mood. Srila Jiva Goswami. The difference between bhava, stai bhava, and rasa is now described in two verses. Though they are the same in one sense, right? Because this discussion we've had before, right? Since they exist as cause and effect, right? So the cause will be the you could say is the rati, and then the effect will be the rasa, right? And then the rasa will be the cause of further increasing of rati, which then will be like this. It just keeps going on. Sattva here refers to Shuddha Sattva Visesha, previously described as the cause of bhava, rati. The difference is like that between samadhi, realization, and dhyana, meditation, by which one achieves realization. Right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, there's meditation, by that there's realization. Mm-hmm. Right? Then you get to samadhi. So that's the difference, because meditation means you absorb. When that deepens, that depth, that means there's realization. So either realize the Paramatma and move forward to Bhagavan, or they realize as Brahman and move back to there. So we see is that when you've gone beyond that point of distinguishing all the elements of rasa, like we're just trying to figure out what all the elements are and how they work and all these things, but when you get beyond that, where it's just that attraction to Krishna, then that can then give rise to rasa. Yeah. So for us, we're just appreciating so that that attraction, we don't become distracted by something by our own mundane idea. Yes. You know, that, oh, this pastime, I don't like that because this, you know, the devotees are lamenting or something. Yes. Yes. Does that make sense? Because that will get in the way of bhava arising or rati arising, because we have some we're distinguishing and using a material measurement. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Okay. 251-133. That which the wise person who has dedicated his intelligence only to the Lord experiences in the heart, which realizes Vibhava and the other elements as separate entities through deep impressions of previous bhakti, is called bhava. Right, so in bhava, then you're seeing all these different separate parts, but you're able to taste those. You know, we're just intellectualizing, Then you get to the point where you can distinguish,
yes.
You know, like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. First, a person attains bhava by vibhava and other elements manifesting. Then the sarupa bhava appears. Then by those vibhavas and other elements, rasa appears. This is the order. Two verses describe the difference between rati and rasa by describing their particular natures. That which surpasses the stage of distinguishing vibhava, vyavichari bhavas and other elements, and attains astonishing taste is called rasa. Right? Because at that point you don't have to pick it apart.
Mm.
You know, it's just like, let us say you taste something very properly cooked. You just appreciate that taste.
Yes.
Now you can analyze it and break it down, but that's not the important part. The important is the taste. You know, so if you're just at the point where then you eat, put something in your mouth, okay, that's this, and that, you don't get the overall taste. So that's what we're saying, is that you're going to go through these stages. One will purify oneself to the platform of bhava, and then there you can distinguish all these things, but that will give rise to where you don't distinguish, and it's just you're absorbed in rasa. So that's why then they can be discussed as distinct, or discussed as one thing. When you say rati, it means the whole thing. You say rasa, it means... So you have to see the context in which they're speaking. So if it's analytical, then you're making a distinction. If it's not, then it'll be one thing.
But this is only pure devotion.
Yes. Yes. So that's why we're trying to get ourselves there. Yes. So this idea of that kanista is good enough, it's kind of like, you know, but do you want to taste pure devotional? So do you want to taste on that level? Or is just, you know, being a little freed from the material, a little touch of goodness, a little bit of freed from the material world, but still going after your passions and all that, and giving yourself some direction in life, is that good enough? Because if it is, you can do that for a long time. But at the same time, is you can, if you have that faith, you can get to that platform. In one lifetime, you can go back to Godhead. And then going to Gokul, then in that one lifetime, you can perfect it. You can also stay there for a long time also if you don't want to perfect it. Does that make sense? But the standard is generally if you have that understanding, then you're going to go through things quickly here and you'll go through things quickly there. That's standard. But it's being pointed out that you have to be aware that it can be slower than that. You know, one is, as Krishna says in the Gita, one doesn't have to worry about I thought this was part of the chapter down here, but it's these are pointed out so you're aware. You know, so you're aware of how much is the problem, I'm the controller and enjoyer, you have to give that up. So it's not just one of those things, No, it's you have to give that up. Because otherwise, if you keep it too strong here in the gross form, then you'll tend to be absorbed in that, have faith there, so you may not remember Krishna. You know, you go back to the heavenly planets, after you've done your 10,000 years there, you come back here, the golden age of Lord Chaitanya is over. You know, so if you want to be, you know, running away from, you know, all the guys that like to eat devotees because they're a little more tasty than all the other guys because they're, you know, it says dried up, you know, I say withered, you know, like that. They're not as tasty. Devotees are much more tasty. Yeah. So that will get there. Or one is careful about that, but then there's the subtle aspect that I'm a great devotee and I'm the guru of Vaishnavas. Yes. Then that will catch you on the platform of bhava. So one has to be comfortable to just give that up. Then that will take you through. You know, you think the logic is too important, then it'll get in your way. Because on this level, you won't be able to see the bhakti. On that level, you'll just stay on the analytical. You won't move forward into the taste. Said, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandini.